Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah. Some call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice. Cause I speak of the pompousness of love. I'm doing you wrong, doing you wrong. Well, don't you worry, baby, don't worry. Cause I'm right here, right here, right here, right here at home. Cause I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun.
Episode 3, Overheard at Kelly's. We're joined by a spooky guest, the clown of crime. Evan is with us, as always, and we're just anticipating the arrival of the said Joker, Jacob Stockel. Is he in the room?
Evening, Congressman. Where do we begin? This city deserves a better class of criminal.
I'm gonna give it to him.
No!
You'll see.
I'll show you. It's all part of the plan. You've changed things. Forever. There's no going back. See to them.
Good evening. Gentlemen.
What is up, Joker? Any What's opening up? Words?
I just want to say thank you, gentlemen, for having me a guest on the pod. It's pretty unreal. I mean, I've been a guest. I mean, a fan of this pod for years now. And to be a guest, second time guest, is just seems like a dream come true. So, thank you, gentlemen.
You're very welcome.
It's truly a pleasure. We've got a lot of great things planned for the evening with the Joker. But first, I think there's an elf in the room between the said host and the said guest. I'm not one to spread rumors, but Evan, any comments here?
I don't think there is any beef, honestly. I think in the city of Gotham, there's a lot of villains out there, and sometimes they cross paths. But in in the criminal empire or the criminal underworld, there's no beef, just tricks. And I think that's what's been going on between me and Jake. I don't know if he has any if he has any thoughts on the matter, but that's my perspective. Maybe he'll change it.
I don't think my perspective is going to change on that. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just two competitors just trying to see how their tricks are working. And so far, we're having some tricks out there. We got some tricks off our sleeve, but we're just going to see how the dice roll.
The only thing I'll say is every time that Jake puts a picture of Skip working out, that's a good trick.
That's a funny trick. I mean, yeah, it's funny persona, and you know, like it kind of gave off the sense after that first pod that Evan was playing the role of the like more of the argumentative type, countering everything. So I kind of showed parallels to Skip Bayless there. Just thought it was, you know, out of good fun.
I think it's hilarious. I wasn't even trying to be Skip Bayless. I guess that means that once you're not trying to be Skip Bayless, that's when you actually become
Skip Bayless. Just, wow. Really makes you think about that.
And then after Jacob's victory this past weekend, him posting the meme of showing up to my enemy's funeral just to make sure that dude was dead. I mean, that's tough.
Well, it was because it's hilarious though, because Evan posted the meme about me with my whole so-called empire burning to the ground with Christian McCaffrey being hurt. But I mean, just look what happened this week. I mean,
it's an interesting rivalry because it's the two, I think the league would agree, probably the two best meme artists in the conglomerate, and the fact that they've sort of engaged in this contentious relationship, it's good for the league. Creates excellent content.
And I think it's also good too that, you know, Evan, you know, his record doesn't really show for his team right now. Like he's arguably like a top four team, and to him for being in ninth place right now, I mean, I think Water's going to find his level, is going to find his way to the top quarter of the league eventually and see what happens. But, you know, he's a really, really respectable opponent. So
yeah, this is like the scene in The Dark Knight where they have the Joker arrested in the prison. And then two scenes later, the hospital's blowing up.
Yeah.
So this could be right where I want to be. And you don't even know it yet.
It could be, but I'm just hoping, I mean, not hoping, but just, you don't want to, you know, you're trying to play a trick to stay far back and then make your way back up to the top. I get it. But the only problem you could come about is you don't want to get too far back. And then all of a sudden, like, it's hard to get back up to the top. So you got to maybe set your trick off pretty soon.
Yeah. Well, you know, the grand finale, as they say, is still weeks away. So I have time.
Yeah, a lot of golf left.
Yeah, this is actually the perfect segue into our next segment. So I know last week with Brennan Smith, we went into a power rankings where he provided some excellent and also controversial insights. For this week, though, Jacob, we're going to switch it up a little bit. We're going to ask you to give us your power rankings, but with a twist. You have to limit your insights to one sentence for each team, for each ranking. And with that, okay, we'll start with number 12. Proceed.
Number 12, I'll have to go with my dear friend, Mike.
Okay. One sentence. It does not have to be football related.
I mean, the sentence speaks for itself. Hold on one second. I mean, the sentence speaks for itself. He's under 300. His points for under 300. Just, I think he has, I mean, it sucks being last, but, you know, I think he's going to have some good weeks, but at the end of the day, he's under 300 right now for points for.
Okay, number 11.
I'll have to go with Brendan.
Hmm.
Hmm.
And my sentence is respect the troops.
Okay. Number 10.
10, I'm going to have to go with the BMI himself, Mr. J Panda.
Wow. He's going to be so rattled. All right. Sentence.
Mattisquan.
What?
Just one word, Mattisquan.
Wow. That's actually very telling. All right. Number 9.
I have to go with the man himself, Ryan Rose.
Wow. Very fair.
And I'll describe it as... Oh, man, this is tough.
Can I guess?
I got one.
Okay, do it.
Beach. I'm just cutting these down.
No, it's good. All right, number 8.
8. EY.
Oh my god.
There we go.
Zara.
All right, number 7.
I'll have to go with Got Her Up.
Wow.
And Sigs.
Noted. All right, to recap so far, Jake has listed Mike in the 12th spot, B. Smith 11, Jack 10, Ryan 9, EY 8, Got Her Up 7. And we move to the 6th.
6th, I have to put Mr. Jackson.
Huh. Wow. The beef.
I mean, the at beef the end continues. Of the day, like, you have a great, at the end of the day, I mean, Evan, you have a great team, but, you know, 1 and 2, I would love to put you higher, but.
All right, that's it. One sentence.
Okay, I guess like.
All right, number 5.
Morin.
Okay.
Act up.
That's fitting.
Fatherhood.
Fatherhood. Number 4.
Walsh.
Wow. Papa Moon.
Papa Moon. Uber X to Rutgers.
I think that story is second all time. Yeah.
That's
second all-time only to Lou.
Yeah.
Leaving downtown Manhattan, going back to Rutgers, only to not have a key or the key not working and sleeping in the car.
That's unreal. But I feel like Walsh's story, like, that was just more of like, he was horny.
Yeah.
Walsh, yeah.
The H-bug got to Walsh during the Manasquan weekend. He fell victim, but it's fine. All right.
3. Okay. Lou. It's a tough one for Lou. Let me take a look at his team. I don't know. He has a good team. Just a really good team. That's it. That's
what good it shot is. There, man.
And for 2, really. Billy, and then I'll just describe Billy as he just big puss guy, loves puss so wow. much. And for number one, I mean, I was at number one last week or something. I mean, let's face it. Like, I was number one last week. My star player, maybe the star player, probably the best player in fantasy in the NFL on my team goes down. People thought I was out for the count. And then I'm playing Billy, who might have maybe the best team in the league. So I'm versing a straight juggernaut without my best player. People might think I might get rolled. What did I win by 30? what does that tell you? Like, imagine what's going to happen when McCaffrey comes back. Oh, it's just, I mean, I have a question. How much does first place get again, Ray?
It's approximately.
Have we decided?
Yeah, we did. We're doing the same breakdown as last year, but I believe it was 720. I think.
Oh, okay, that's good to know.
Noted.
But yeah, I mean, it's good. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, like I was number one with McCaffrey, the best player in football and fantasy goes down. I'm playing probably one of the best teams, if not the best team in the league. And Billy, you have a great team, but you know, like, what did I win by, like 30? Like, I mean, imagine what's going to happen when McCaffrey comes back. I don't know.
Evan, you're.
I think I have to get the number one spot.
I think it's fair.
I'll give Jacob's sentence for himself. In light of his injury hits, what doesn't kill you makes you stranger.
Yeah. Wow. Evan, what are your thoughts or just instant reactions on the power rankings?
I mean, if Evan won one more game, like, I know it's like we could play the what ifs all day.
Well, I mean, I think it's like obvious that me personally, like, my team has been the best team the past 3 weeks. It's just every week I get absolutely, like, destroyed in points against. So
yeah, I mean,
it's like, just that's where luck plays into it. Like I'm fine with being ranked sixth because I have a losing record, but it's like out of my hands. Like, there's nothing I could have done. I just, like, played the second highest score, the highest score every week. So,
yeah, and yeah, exactly. I mean, like, even for me, like, my one loss, I put up what, 160?
Yeah, you have 156.
Like, so it's like, I think I deserve spot. Billy has.
I would say. But like, I think these rankings are extremely fair, especially because like. Some of the teams were getting gassed up in B. Smith's rankings, and mm-hmm. I just didn't really, like, see it that as much.
I was surprised I was first in B. Smith's ranking. Because I was coming off a loss.
Yeah, but I guess you were coming off a loss where you put up almost 160 points, so.
Yeah, but still, it's a loss.
Yeah, I mean, I think if it continues going like this – like, there's really nothing you could do. Like, I feel good about my team. But I think, yeah, Mike, just to quickly go down, I think Mike, yeah, he hasn't done himself any favors with the trade, I don't know how many he's made. Doesn't seem like any of those have worked out. B. Smith's team is not too hot. I think he's second lowest in points for, but at least he has a win. Jack at 10, I would say, is maybe a little interesting. I don't know. I think he's probably better than 10, but I'm actually surprised to see that he's got a very low points for. Everybody else in between, honestly, like, the season's so young that 3 through 9 is pretty up for grabs. And then, honestly, Jake, I think ranking yourself first is fair.
Yeah, I agree. No, I think it's fair.
I mean. Yeah, I mean, like, there's – yeah, I mean, Brendan, and Mike, I mean, both under 300. That's tough. You need to start. I mean, you got to put up the points. But at least Brendan has a win with that. I mean, that's – at least he can get something on the board with that points for. I mean, if you think about it, Evan, like, between Brendan or Mike and you, I mean, essentially, like, they could have played another game and you still have more points for.
Yeah. I mean, I have a ridiculous amount of points for and against. I'm, like, getting averaged 150 points against a week. So it's basically, like, my team has to, like, absolutely – go off every single one of them for me to have had a chance. And I'm like,
if you would have, yeah, dude, if I would have won that game, like, and then you would have been 0-3 with like insane points for, that would be crazy.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not even like there's like things that I could have done differently. Like, I wasn't realistically going to start Rex Burkhead. Like, I only picked him up to troll you. So I wasn't realistically like ever going to put him in my starting lineup. So I can't really even like be too upset that I had those points left there, but it is what it is.
I just find it funny also, that Evan and I were the only teams that have over 400 points in points against. And the next closest is Eli at 377.
That's quite a
jump from 377 to 414. And even from 414 to Evan's 462, which is just absurd.
I mean,
it's just funny.
Also,
it's just funny.
I have 160 more points against than Walsh. Like,
delusional.
Yeah, that's like one of the highest points that you'll like see in an entire season is like 160.
Yep.
Oh. Ryan, I was gonna tell you too. Like, I know you lost this week, but I feel like if there's any way to lose, like you did great coaching. Like this week, you played your starters perfectly. You didn't leave any points on the table on your bench, essentially, that you could have started. So, like, if there is a way to lose, like, it sucks. Don't get me wrong, but like, you did some good coaching last week.
Thank you. That means a lot.
It always sucks to lose if you put some on your bench that was going off, and you're like, oh, you know, I was about to do that, but switch it up. But at least you could look back on that loss, be like, I played it.
No regrets. Yep.
No, I was a little worried this going into this year. I don't know why I thought this with no fans, it like football was gonna feel weird. This season's felt like perfectly normal, honestly, in my opinion.
Yeah. I also feel like the sound noise it does a lot for the viewer experience.
Yeah.
The crowd noise, I just said.
Sometimes it's not lined up with what's going on the field. Like they'll like run out of bounds for a 2-yard gain and the crowd like the virtual crowd will go crazy. But
yeah, or sometimes there's like a penalty reversal and like at home or something, whatever it may be. And mostly the crowd would like go crazy, but it's just like they're just the same noise. It's like, wait, no, that would be different.
Well, just to move on from this segment and just in light of recent events, Jacob, does the name Kelly's Corner Conglomerate mean anything more to you? Kelly's Corner Conglomerate.
I mean, yeah, it definitely means more. I mean, ever since I signed up and took the blood oath for the league, it always had a special place in my heart. And now with I think I got a great team that I'm running right now, and I feel like I have a chance to own a little piece of history. I know we're really early in the season, but if my team keeps up, I think I'll have a good chance to make the playoffs. And once you're in there, you never know what's going to happen. But I think now like that I have a chance to maybe own a little history, you know, not saying it means more because it always meant a lot, but I just feel like now I have a chance to really, you know, be on the placard somewhere, you know, in this, be somewhere, in the books. So who knows? It's definitely always been a special place for me, but now with a chance to really prove myself, I feel like, you know, it doesn't mean more, but it just reiterates how much it really does mean and how special it is.
Now, per a source down in Port St. Lucie, there has been some engagement with a lady by the name of Kelly's. So do you think the stars are aligning here?
I mean, it's one of those things you're
care to comment?
Wow. It's some. You're just one of those things you're just like, wow, is this a prank?
Now, was it a prank or was it a joke?
Or was it a trick?
I think it was more like a social experiment.
Interesting.
But, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things you're just like, wow, like, Kelly's Quarter Conglomerate, you know, maybe a female named Kelly. Yeah, you know, who knows? It's sometimes the stars do align.
Wow. Now, I know you've been away from Austin. Down, now you're back with family at Port St. Lucie. Do you just want to give an update for the league on how things are going and what you've been up to?
Yeah, I mean, it's good, man. Like, it's nice to be home with the family. I mean, it's a unique time right now, and I feel like I'm just trying to take advantage of it. Being home, seeing my family, getting to spend time. I've been playing a lot of golf, which is nice. I mean, in Austin, I play golf every now and then, but, you know, it's something that's been a huge part of my life for essentially, you know, for as long as I've been alive. Like, it's been a huge part of my life. And in Austin, I kind of had some new hobbies I was doing, and, you know, it's nice to come back down here and just play golf again and really just ignite that passion that I always had. So that's definitely nice. The work from home's fine. I mean, I like it down here, but, you know, it's not going to last forever. So eventually I'm going to make my way back to the Lone Star State, but just enjoying it right now.
Well, that's extremely pure. The family time is great, and Austin will always be there as well. Now, yeah, Evan,
we definitely got to do it.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, we definitely got to maybe think about some type of potential Austin trip, maybe in the winter for you, you northern folk. You guys can get out of the cold, go down to Austin in the winter. Maybe we could do some down there. I'm sure the bars will be opening up that, you know, later on in the year. So we'll see.
I think the league would have some appetite for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have that travel voucher, so I kind of have to go.
Now.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
Evan, I know you've had a question that you wanted to ask Jacob to close out the pod. I'll hand it over to you.
We're almost done. I feel like we just started.
Well, I think I came up with another question that I wanted to ask based off of a lot of people's interests right now and a lot of people have a lot of time at home and they're starting to look into things a little bit more deeply. And with that in mind, I was wondering, Jake, if there's – maybe one, two, three, a few conspiracy theories that you would like to share that you're kind of tracking right now. Because there's one that's been on my mind recently that I've kind of just started to take as fact. But I'm just interested to hear if you've had similar experiences.
What's that?
No, just to if there's any conspiracy theories that you've been tracking recently.
I'm not – honestly, not really. I feel like that was – I kind of went down the rabbit hole with all that shit like a couple years ago. And I don't know. It's just kind of fun just to like watch a video on YouTube, not really taking it with any like real validity. Sometimes it's just pure entertainment. But nothing really I've been – I don't know. Nothing I've been really tracking. Have you been watching any of those type videos lately or no?
Well, when the aliens thing came out that they were releasing all those documents – I was pretty torqued for that. Really nothing came out of it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I mean, they were cool, but I don't think they were, like, that crazy. I mean, I think it's pretty much everybody, like, I would assume most people are, like, yeah, there's probably stuff out there. But we just haven't really seen it yet. Or, like, maybe they just haven't, like, shown up yet.
Who knows?
Or maybe they've been here this whole time.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe it's one of us.
Okay.
Dude, imagine if just like fucking like Jack was an alien.
Yeah, but like what type of alien do you think Jack would be? Like he like sits us down and then he like unzips his suit, his like Jack suit, and then inside is just like an actual like little alien controlling. Like the Jack like body.
Jack's alerting the mothership right now as he hears this. He's sending signals up to the stars.
That like we gotta get out. Like I feel like, yeah, I could see Jack being an alien.
Maybe we say Jack, but let's really think about this. Out of all of our friends, who's the most likely that they're just like, yo, honestly, guys, like, I'm being like dead ass, like, I'm actually like an alien.
Or they just straight up weren't born on this planet, like they came here at some point.
Yeah,
I'd
in the league or of everybody.
Everybody.
I'd probably say Nate.
Yeah, I would say Nate. His story never.
Yeah, I never really, because Nate. I really never. Really. I think I was introduced to him once, but I never really like talked to him.
I love Nate, but he kind of just showed up at our doorstep, unannounced.
Really?
Yet he came into our lives out of nowhere, but yet he was so easily relatable.
And it
seems like he hasn't changed at all in the years that we've known him. He hasn't aged. Not a day.
He hasn't aged a day.
So that I'm just thinking a little bit. I mean, I don't want to get – this is something to stay woke on.
He's really like 700 years old.
Oh, because I think when he first met us, he was what, like, decently older than us. But he's not getting older. I don't know.
No, like we've passed him now.
Yeah.
Like I think he was like 2 or 3 years older than us. Like now we're older than him.
Yeah, we've surpassed him.
Doesn't make any sense. And then he always like pops up like places. Like we're in Manasquan, he's in Manasquan. Like we're at Rutgers, he's at Rutgers.
But no one's shocked.
Yeah, and it's just normal. So it makes me think, how is he traversing the globe this quickly?
Is he growing stronger?
Yeah, and then if you think about it too, like the first time we met Nate, we're like, yeah, like, he was cool. And then I he came back and he was just like, he like just got us so well. It's almost like he like uploaded all of the data that he had seen like into his like StarCraft, and then it just like processed it and told him exactly like what to do to become like friends with us. And it worked.
That's actually it. That like really, that's probably true.
Like it's the only explanation I could think of.
Do we need to?
It's probably the most reasonable explanation.
Do we need to burn this tape so it doesn't get out?
Yeah, when this tape like plays over, just like have like, you know, that like dead whatever like that deadline sound is, like when somebody's like heart monitor goes down, just like have that play through the whole like thing, and then like just pick it back up.
Oh my god.
All right. Well, so now that we've gotten past that, now going back to the Earth and specifically Hollywood, Jake, what would you say is your favorite depiction of the Joker in modern films?
I mean, that's pretty easy. Like the Dark Knight is just like the Mona Lisa of Jokers. Like he is the classic archetype depiction of the Joker. Like he's gonna stand the test of time. Like he's just like the timeless depiction of what the Joker is and what he stands for. I mean, the Dark Knight is the Joker.
Yeah, I mean, I think the third movie in that one was good, but I feel like Batman versus Joker, that's like the ultimate duel. Like that's the I don't know, like the standard or like the most typical like hero versus villain is the Joker versus Batman.
Yeah.
But also, didn't that movie, like, weren't people saying that movie might have like made him go crazy or like added to his depression or like mental health issues?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think he was, he was like a method actor. And I think he was just really involved in the role like so deeply.
That he actually became the Joker a little bit.
Yeah, like actually.
Yeah, like, and I'm not kidding. Like, I thought I like read that like he like took it so seriously and he got like so into it that it like actually gave him like some mental health issues, and that like maybe contributed to his death.
Yo, you ever see the one with Jared Leto?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty. I thought he was like not that great.
Yeah, I that one was like bad. And apparently, like, I was watching this, like, video clip, whatever. And like he would like he was really like into the role and like he was trying to method act, but he's like I guess like not really the best actor, or like he's probably okay, but like nothing even close to like Heath Ledger. And like he would like try to get really like involved into the role, and he would like give his coworkers like bugs, like mail them bugs, and he's like, "Ooh, I'm the Joker. I give you a like I'm giving you bugs," and they're just like, "Yo." Like, yo, like the fuck are you doing? Like,
like this guy, like Jared Leto thought he was gonna like win another Oscar, like for like transcending film and like actually becoming the living, breathing Joker, and then in reality people were like, this guy's a creep.
In reality, like that probably like really hurt his acting career. Like now he's like considered like just a joke.
Yeah, and he was on top of the world because he was in that the Texas or Dallas Buyers Club.
That like he was, that he movie was in that really movie. Good.
Yeah, and he was really good in that movie. But then I guess the Joker is just too big of a role for some people.
It's like that role. If you had offered to be the Joker, like I'm sure people like turn that down. They're like, this might break me.
I don't know if I could do it.
Like, also, did you guys know that he was the singer in 30 Seconds?
I was about to say that. So crazy.
Yeah.
Yo, I just found that out like a year ago, and it blew my mind.
I mean, he's clearly a very talented dude, but
I mean, dude, that was a solid band like 10 years ago. Like they were like on MTV and shit. Like they were pretty good.
It's interesting to think that there's people out there that are just so talented they could just do both, like be a very, very good actor and then, or like a musician and then transition from like one to the other.
It's like Timberlake.
I wonder if it's just I wonder if it's just a gene.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think of that when I'm doing emails for 8 hours a day on my laptop. I'm like, this fucking sucks.
Hit a couple like, keys, make a couple calls, send a couple emails, sign off.
Have you guys both seen Entourage, the full series?
Yeah.
Yeah, mad long ago.
Do you think that Adrien Grenier, I think that's the actor's name, like, do you think he's a good actor playing Vinny Chase, who was, like, not actually that good of an actor? Or, like, I never understood in this show, like, if, like, Vinny Chase was supposed to be a really good actor, because anytime he, like, you saw him acting, like, I thought he kind of sucked.
Well, I think it's because, like, I mean, the show in itself, Entourage, it's not about Vinny. It's about, literally, like, the Entourage. So I think they try to make a point to show, like, this is probably the worst character. It's supposed to be, like, the main – it seems like he's the main character because he is, like, the superstar. But he's actually, like, the worst character.
Yeah, I thought he was the weakest. Like, I could care less when he was on screen most of the time.
Yeah. He's definitely the most uninteresting character for sure. But, yeah, I mean – that's a great show. It's classic.
I mean, that show is tough for me to watch because then it just makes me want to like, quit my job and just move to LA and become a movie star. It makes it look so easy.
Yo, imagine if Lou, like, since he's in LA now, he just, like, somehow is just, like, bored and just goes to, like, an audition. Like, you know, the audition's probably all around LA just for, like, extras or something, whatever. He's just like, oh, like, so he's, like, on his way home from work. You just see he's, like, one of those things going on, just walks in, just like whatever, just does it.
Like you know how you hear stories about people just doing day to day things, and then like a casting agent is there, and they see him, and they're like, oh my god, like have you ever considered acting? Like I have a role that's perfect for you, and they just get the part sight unseen.
Yeah,
like that. Imagine that happening. I think that could be Lou.
Lou could be the next Adam Driver, just like long hair, kind of tall, lanky. Yeah.
Dude, imagine like all of a sudden Lou's like just straight up like in a movie.
Yeah. Like we like walk outside or like you're watching TV and there's a trailer on and it's just Lou.
Do you think he would stay in the league?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he would.
It's been a long road for Lou to get into the league. That now that he's here, I should say, I think he's here for the long haul.
Well, people forget that the only reason that Lou wasn't in the league from the jump is that he cared too much.
Yeah,
that's what he said.
Because he was already in a league. He's like, I think he was in two or one, and he was like, I can't do another one. I care so much about, like, it's going to just drive me crazy. He didn't have any.
I thought he wasn't in any league.
That's what I thought.
And he said, I'm not joining your league because I'll take it too seriously.
Correct.
Like, I'll care too much.
Says a lot.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that does.
You think he's still?
And that was all the way back in the Bartlett days.
It was.
Yo, I remember, Ryan, do you remember this too? I think the first ever draft or first discussion we had for the league, we were in the Hale, was our, my memory of it, we were in the Hale Center computer lab with the entire team, and we were just like talking about it or something, or maybe even drafting. I forget, but I do have that memory.
I know we had a draft in the Hale Center, but I can't remember if that was a league that we had with Coach.
That could have been a different one because maybe Coach was in that one too.
But definitely, it had early origins for sure.
Yeah. So 2015, that was like the actual inaugural season.
Correct. Right?
Yeah, I forget who won that year. Oh, I know.
Do you know the champ, like the list of the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
The champions? I already know it off the top of my head.
Do you have a Super Bowl, like the two teams, not just the champions?
So it was, Ryan, do you have it up? I think I know it off the top of my head. I don't have it up, I promise.
Hold on, let me pull it up. One second. Okay, 20.
I wish I could share my screen so people know I'm not cheating.
I believe it.
Okay, so I think year one, I won. I beat B. Smith. And I think my route into the playoffs was I beat Walsh, then Morin, then B. Smith. And I think the Cardinals' defense had 35 points for me that in the championship, and that's pretty much why I won. And I think B. Smith that year had Blake Bortles and –
my God, how do you remember
and
this?
He had Blake Bortles and the wide receiver that wasn't Allen Robinson on the Jaguars that year that they like would score so many points in the fourth quarter.
Was that when their defense was like insane?
Or no, that was when Bortles was actually like would ball out every fourth quarter in garbage time. And it was Allen Robinson and what was the other wide receiver's name? Ryan, are you looking at the thing right now?
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up the teams, but you have the matchup correct. You have Cardinals defense on your roster, but I can't find the actual the points.
Yeah, that year I had the first overall pick that year, and I took Adrian Peterson, and then Walsh had the number two pick, and he took Le'Veon Bell, but didn't realize that he was suspended for four games. So that was a good start to the league. 2016, speaking of, was Walsh versus Mike, and Mike won. Correct. And I think that was the year he had Le'Veon Bell, who had like 52 points in either the in like the first round or the second round of the playoffs, because Mike beat me in the semifinals that year. And he had Bell and he had Devonta Freeman that year. And both of them kind of went off.
I think there was one year, I don't know if it was 2016 or 17, where Mike beat me. I think it was this, I forget what round it was, but I remember I had DeSean Jackson and he needed like two or three points for me to win. And he like gets hurt. I was like, are you kidding me? And like he was projected, like he was like when he was, it was obviously the tail end of his career, but I think he was balling out at least decently in the second half of the season. He was projected like something like 16 or something. And I was like, oh, like this is a no brainer. Like this is be a nice victory, but he got hurt.
Yeah. And I remember 2016 was the year that Mike traded Todd Gurley. And I want to say like Sammy Watkins for Devonta Freeman and some other, like another wide receiver. It might've been Lockett or some random guy who like wasn't good at the time. And then that trade ended up like working out for Mike and he won the championship. And that's why like I always say, you never know with Mike, like these seemingly lopsided trades will work out.
Yep. Mike plays a long game.
Yeah. So that was 2016, Mike over Walsh. 2017 was I beat Danny that year.
Correct.
And that was the year that Gurley went crazy throughout the playoffs. And I think he had like over 40 points in back-to-back weeks. And that Danny's team that year was very good. But I want to say I beat Danny. It wasn't close. I think I beat Danny like 140 points or 130 points, and Danny barely got over 100. So he just had – he had Kenyon Drake. I think he had Jarvis Landry. He had a good team. And that was the year, too, that he traded for Ezekiel Elliott during his suspension, and the first game back for Elliott would have been our regular, like, would have been the championship. So Danny made that trade expecting to make the championship, and then I won. And that was, you know, a historic and great moment for the league. And then
– how was that conversation?
What do you mean?
With you and Danny, was he salty or no?
Afterwards? Yeah. Yeah, he was pretty depressed. And then but then the next year was Danny and I again, and he beat me. Wow.
Rematch.
And that was the year I think he scored 191 points in the championship. So I had no shot.
That's insane.
Then last year was Ryan over Walsh. So Walsh twice – I think Walsh is – of people currently still in the league, he's the only person to be in the championship twice or more than once. So that's actually, like, pretty impressive for him. Just unfortunate that he hasn't won a championship yet. But, yeah, Ryan beat Walsh last year. And I think – I don't think it was that close, right, Ryan?
No, it wasn't too close of a – matchup. My record actually heading into the playoffs was 7-6, but I had a lot of points for a good margin ahead of the pack, but I just I peaked at the right time.
Yeah, I think
New York
Giants. I think points for has always been pretty well distributed. I think I want to say like Morin had the highest points for in 2015. I think I might have in 2016. 2017 Danny did. 2018.
I might have.
Yeah, I think you did. I think you actually have had the most points for a few times. So honestly, like, that's like regular season wise, there's been a lot of parity in the league. It just seems like I've just gotten relatively hot a few times in the playoffs.
It's good coaching.
I mean, at the end of the day, if you have a good points for, it's like Ryan said previously, like, water's going to find its level. Like, if you make the playoffs and you know your team's capable of putting up a big number, like, the rest is out of your hands. But as long as you have a high ceiling, that's really all that matters.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I don't feel too bad. Like, for – it's also so early in the season. Like, even Mike – like, Ryan, like, has a respectable points for, but, like, even Mike at 0-3 with not a great looking – first 3 weeks, he still has plenty of time to turn it around, because pretty much any injury, anybody can get hot or step into a bigger role. And then if you're lucky enough to have them on your team, then you're pretty locked in.
Yeah, not going to lie. I think my pickup of Adrian Peterson off waivers, honestly, I think he's going to be the number one back for
Yeah, I was considering. I was considering picking him up. He's kind of like everybody talks about Frank Gore being ageless. Like, Adrian Peterson has also been in the league forever.
Yeah,
and he was probably way better than Frank Gore ever was.
Yeah, I mean, not saying that Adrian Peterson is going to be like a stud, but like, I feel like for somebody off waivers, I think he's going to get some decent reps. Who knows?
Yeah, I agree. But.
All right. Well,
has there ever been a team to not make, or has any team in the league never made the playoffs?
I think I made the playoffs once, I believe.
I think Jack made the playoffs for the first time last year. For his first time. I know EY's made the playoffs, because I think in 2016 we were still playing divisions. And he had the highest record in his division, or the best record in his division, even though he didn't have like the second best record overall, so he ended up with a bye.
I don't think Chase ever did, and I don't think Chang ever did.
Yeah, but they weren't in the league for too long. Like Lou also never did, but he's only been in the league for 1 year.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there was like some weeks like a couple of years ago when like Chaser Chang, like, yeah, like they were competing, don't get me wrong, but I feel like maybe they didn't take it as serious sometimes. And I think there were like some weeks that they just like didn't really set their lineup properly or something. Like, I think I do remember some of those weeks.
Well, I don't think the very first year, I don't think Chase realized like you don't drop like your best players like if they're hurt for a week. So he dropped He dropped LeSean McCoy and Dez Bryant like in the same week.
Evan, how do you remember this, bro? It's unreal.
Because I just like, I don't know. I just, I'm, I guess I have like a super memory for fantasy football. But yeah, he like dropped those two. And I picked up LeSean McCoy. And then I think B. Smith picked up Dez. And then Dez Bryant like went off on a game versus Danny. And so B. Smith won. And Danny was like so salty about it. And then I ended up trading LeSean McCoy and somebody else to Jack for Mike Evans. And then like Mike Evans like had a good stretch, and then I won that championship.
That's actually like
Evan is the Sean McVay of fantasy football. He can recite any year, any game, any waiver acquisition that takes place.
I don't know. There's just been a lot of notable things that have happened in our league that just stick in my brain, I guess.
Evan, who do you think? This might be a tough question, but who do you think is or was the Jason Garrett of the Kelly's Court conglomerate?
What do you mean by that? Just like inept?
Like an 8-8, like an 8-8 type, like
type. Like a guy that's like always has like a decent team, but never is like. Well, I would honestly say it's probably Jack. Like, no offense to Jack. Yeah. But like, I feel like he always end like the season. Like on the cusp of the playoffs, like he would never have like awful years, and he would never have like outstanding years. He would just have like, he was just there. Like he could beat you any week, but he could also lose to you any week. And I attribute most of that to the fact that he was making some pretty shitty trades for the first few years of the league, but he seems to have stopped doing that. And now he makes trades not as based off of emotion, more on reason. So.
Interesting, yeah. I mean, Jack has a good team. Like he, like you said before, like he could beat the best team, but also like maybe lose.
Well, because Jack has like he probably has a lot more like he probably has the highest amount of football like actual like X's and O's knowledge than any of us. But he would just manage his team with so much emotion that he was easily swayed on trades. But But like I said, I mean, his team was really good last year too. And I think he had a few trades last year where I was like, wow, Jack has changed. Like he's fleecing people. But
yeah, I mean, like once we start getting to the bye weeks and everything, that's when we're going to really know like who really thought this through. Cause it's like, yeah, like if you have your team in full force, all your starters, it's like, yeah, like that's great. Everybody has a good team, I guess. But once there's bye weeks and you have to start choreographing different players and who's working, who's not, whatever it may be, like there's going to be some parity. It's going to.
Yeah. Honestly, if I have to say one person who I'm surprised hasn't won a championship yet, I would say it's Morin. Cause I think he sticks out in my brain as like always having had good teams, like make solid trades, like constantly checking, but he's just never gotten like there. He's definitely been in the semifinals a few times, or at least once or twice. So he's gotten close, but he just hasn't gotten to the over the hump.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Morin's always a player where it's like a team where I'm like, or at least me personally, like in years past, I'm playing Morin, I'm like it's always like if you win, you're like, okay, like I survived that. That's good. I know he has a good team. But if you lose, you're just like, yeah, he has a good team. It's fine. You're never like upset because you know he has a solid squad.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the league in its current shape is probably as competitive as it's ever been now.
Like when we all drafted and we were just examining everybody's teams, projected points, whatever it may be, like everything, looking everything through, like I think I made the comments, some other people made the comment, and it's just so cliche to say, but it just really never sometimes it doesn't really hold true, but in this case it actually really did, that like pretty much everybody has a really like we all have really good teams. It's so cliche and it sounds so lame to say, but it's kind of a cop out answer, but it's really not at this case.
Fair.
Like everybody has a pretty solid team.
Well, yeah, that's why those preseason power rankings were kind of, I think those preseason power rankings were just people trying to manifest what they want to happen. That's why they put me and Jack so low. But I mean, as you could see after 3 weeks, that those preseason rankings were basically just bullshit. But
I mean, except for
were you ranked the highest in that one?
Yeah, I think Jake's been number one in both iterations of power rankings.
What's extremely sad is I ranked myself. I gave myself, I think, the number one ranking, which means that pretty much everybody else must have ranked me last if I only ended up at 11th.
I also did vote for myself like 12
times. Yeah, Ryan told me that. I think, and Jack did the same thing too, so.
Wow.
Or he submitted like 8 times or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Those Google polls are easily, easily.
It's tricky.
Yeah. Manipulated. Easily manipulated. But.
All right, gentlemen. Yeah. Well, that was a true pleasure. We're 3 weeks into this season's conglomerate. A lot of drama to come, but Jacob, we thank you for your time. Always a pleasure. And we wish you continued success for the rest of the year.
Gentlemen, I just want to say once again, thank you for having me a guest on the pod once again. Much appreciated. Wow, we did an hour.
The time flies.
Flew by. But yeah, gentlemen, thank you, and best of luck for the rest of the season.
You as well. Thanks, Jake.
All right, good night.
Thanks.
Good night.